he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. So that was like, they go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Correct.
What, is that all you got?
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. Running a little late again, like we did last week. Ah, heroin decisions, let me tell you. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is it, because I don't know what to think of certain things or how things are done, but damn it, man, I don't know what to say. But I can tell you that it's a safe bet, which is our subject for today, that things just haven't, you know, really been, you know, trying to find a way to, you know, get there, get to the top, and then try to go back down to nothing, and it's a habit, but, you know, and as I'm just trying to, you know, let everybody know that we are live right now. And yeah, that's what it is. But ladies and gentlemen, I just have to say that, you know, we've got a lot to talk about, so much to go on, so much to happen, and so many things to do, because we've got this fan incident that happened at a house show for WWE in South Africa. And a fan jumped in the ring. Or is it a fan? I'm serious. It's one or the other. It is a two-way street. You just never know anymore. You really never know. I tell you, today has been awesome because, hey, I don't really go that much to get something out of a food, perhaps. But when it comes to food, I'm just like, well, bring it. Bring it, and we'll see what happens. And then, you know, now it's like, hey, I've got Chinese food right here. And now, you know, hey, I've got Chinese food. I know you're like, well, you already said that. Okay, that's enough. With trying not to make you any more hungry than you probably are, but then again, you know, it's funny because there's a lot to do and a lot to deal with, because, hey, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things that are out of control right now. And I'll tell you what, because there are just certain things that have to be ready. you have to be ready to take the initiative. As my friend Craig Brook just informed me that, yeah, everybody get ready and get ready to get your snacks ready. I hope you have your snacks. Like I said, okay, I swear I will say it one last time. I have Chinese food here. Craig Brooks has informed me he is at the library listening live, baby. Spread the word. Spread the word. Tell the world. Well, you can't really share this kind of information at the library because at the library you have to keep it quiet. Shh. No talking. I'm sure Craig got the headphones on and, you know, can you believe that in a, well, I'm always so tempted to say a week from today, but ladies and gentlemen, it's a week from yesterday. So if anybody saw the post on social media yesterday on Twitter or on any social network, or if you're following the NFL itself on NFL.com or something like that, you know that a week from next Thursday, if we did our show on Thursday, you would know that, hey, next Thursday is the first NFL preseason game. But, you know, like I said last week, how many people actually watch or care about it? Now that the NFL has lied, we're not going to add any games. No, that's unheard of. Roger Goodell even saying what he said on Super Bowl Sunday. Ah! Us? We do that? No. No, we'd never, ever do that. And look, now they've done it. They've done it, and it starts next Thursday. Ah, these bastards have taken it to the limit, haven't they? I guess so. You know, and a lot of people say, well, how is that supposed to work? Well, it starts with people like themselves. How they let themselves go, how they, you know, pursue anything that they're doing with their lives. And and you have to make sacrifices and or regrets. Because, hey, first things first, sure, the NFL season starts next Thursday, the pregame and all that stuff, and preseason, whatever you want to call it. But first, you have to wonder, how did this all start? I mean, good grief. There has to be something that people are after Riley Cooper. I know I was joking with our former co-host who swears or tries to guarantee AJ Stahl, of course, might join us, might have a few things to say about everything going on, so you can expect to hear from him later on during the show. But Riley Cooper had this thing to say 2 weeks ago, for those of you that may or may not have heard, making a very ridiculous and very rash decision on a racial slur, and I won't even say the word, but he said it publicly. He also said it at a press conference 2 weeks ago. He said it in front of teammates, and as I said, this was a press conference, which means NFL fans heard it too. it's not like, well, it took place, you know, behind TV cameras, and you know, the team wanted the world to know that, well, he's not even black, and he's over here making these racial slurs about us. I mean, I, of course, am not black. I'm just standing on behalf of the African-American community. If you're not that color, don't go saying words that are not actually for you. I have African-American friends, and, you know, they use all their own words, and I just say, well, wow, that's interesting, you know? Cool, yeah. Because it's not my word. I mean, people have tried this for years. Well, I'm not Mexican, but I can say a Mexican word. No, you can't. Because I am a Mexican, and I know what those words mean. I mean, I've been around people that have tried to say that shit, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. What in the blue hell do you think you're doing? Well, I'm saying a word that I heard, but you're not Mexican. Yeah, I know I'm not Mexican. And I'd say, well, do you know what it means? No. Nope. I don't know what it means. Well, if you don't know what it means, why are you saying it? That is the case with Riley Cooper. But Michael Vick has decided to take it upon himself to help Riley Cooper clean up this mess. Because the Eagles quarterback has forgiven Cooper only hours after his public apology for using a racial slur that took place, like I said, in public at a Kenny Chesney concert in Philadelphia this June. Vick left no room for misinterpretation at a time when substantively would have been seen as valid anger. You know, as in emotional rage, because how dare you? You're not black. You're not African American. Blah, blah, blah. And it would just, it would make Michael Vick and others stand up against it and say, well, you know, the hell with him. He's on his own. No. Michael Vick, as a team, we understood, because we all make mistakes in life, and we all do and say things that maybe we do mean and maybe we don't mean, Vick said Wednesday. But as a teammate, I forgive him. We understand that the magnitude of the situation. We understand that a lot of people may be hurt and offended. But I know Riley Cooper on a personal level. I know him as a man. I've been with him for the last 3 years. And I know what type of person he is now. That's what makes it easy. At the same time, hard to understand. But very, very easy to forgive him, Michael Vick said. What Cooper said can and may still create a huge rift in the locker room and in the community. It may be easy to forget for some, but certainly not for others. Vick's own brother, Marcus, took to Twitter to call for a bounty on Cooper's head, even offering money to the first offender who lays him out in the game. Let's face it, a lot of people want to see that happen. Yet Michael Vick shushed his own brother, cautioning him against showing his own ignorance. He said, I don't agree with what my brother is saying. He said, Riley is still my teammate, and he just stood in front of us, and apologized for what he said. Somewhere deep down, you got to find some level of respect for that. And as players and coaches prepare to enter the season next week and just move on, they said that this is their answer for moving on. But some are now saying, well, Michael Vick just wants to take the lead and help him clean up his own mess, because, you know, now they're coming up with all these other names for Michael Vick, because we all know that Michael Vick was convicted of the dog fighting incident, and, oh, he's just doing it to make himself sound good. No, he really is, you know, helping Riley Cooper, you know, clean up his mess. So basically, it's like Some people are. I know they're going to try and view this like, well, Michael Vick's over here, basically cleaning up spilled milk. No, this is not spilled milk. When you say words like that, this took place at a concert. But this type of words and racial incident slurs can take place anywhere. Anywhere at all. But the racial slur thing got taken way too far. It was way, way too far. But the NFL said, we're not going to penalize him. The Eagles have already done enough to penalize him. There is so much going on. You know, and hey, this is the way it is now. The NFL is happy with the Eagles' ruling and the way they've, you know, put themselves out there, so to speak, and how they handled the situation. The NFL thinks that the Eagles have done enough to Riley Cooper to make sure that nobody else. The Eagles have made sure in their own mind that if you do something like this or say something like this again, that you make sure you're never going to do it again. Because the president of National Football League, along with Roger Goodell and the other big bosses, they said, let this be a lesson to anyone in the NFL. It doesn't matter if you're a player or an executive, even if you're the fucking janitor for the NFL, this type of language will not be tolerated. And Roger Goodell said they kind of helped us out in a way, because the Eagles made an example out of Riley Cooper. And I hope nobody does this ever again, they said. That's what the NFL is hoping. That if you mess with the NFL or the Eagles, now all the teams are now probably going to start finding ways to take care of this problem and other problems that it has, to make an example out of everyone else, and that will be their safe bet. That's what their logic has always been. I tell you, I mean, hey. But there's a lot to go on. And real quickly, also, I mean, how does this actually work? How is this going to work? With Major League Baseball trying to hand out subsequent suspensions for everyone. Everyone is going to take a suspension. Or are they? Well, I was at my dad's this week, and, you know, we were watching a local sportscaster here in our area, because we had, you know, they had just, you know, picked me up, and I left my car here, and I went with them, and we went to go get my sister, and then we went to their house, and they just turned on the TV, and they said, It looks like Major League Baseball decided not to go through with suspending everybody. And this whole case that they've been building against Jose Canseco, it looks like he has a legal, not illegal, I said legal, loophole to get his ass out of this one. He may not even have to answer for anything. And I said, what? And that's what these local sportscasters were saying, is that if this actually works in his favor, then no one in the league of Major League Baseball will have to take a suspension once the season ends, because that's what they were planning on doing. They were planning on waiting until the season officially ended. That way, 230 baseball players who were involved in this, you know, drug enhancement steroid scandal would take their suspensions. And I said, I looked at my grandpa and I said, damn, I tell you, it looked like Jose Canseco got himself out of this legal loophole. Whoever his damn attorneys are, they must be good damn attorneys. Because now it looks like they might not have to serve their suspensions after all. Because of a legally binding issue that was written down in court papers that Jose Canseco got his hands on. And now because of him getting his hands on this, the judge said, well, this is legal and you have a right to use this against them. Them, they being the Major League Baseball Association. So Major League Baseball is now throwing up their hands and going, well, this is great. Now, we probably may not be able to suspend anybody. If this actually works, they will finalize this thing in court in 2 weeks. The judge said, we're going to take a 2-week break and we'll come back and we'll convene and see where things go. If things go in Jose Canseco's favor, then if you play for Major League Baseball, and if you were one of those wondering, well, crap, I'm going to be suspended, I'm going to have to pay all these fines back to Major League Baseball, you might not have to. And even though whether you like him or not, you might have to congratulate and thank Jose Canseco for saving your ass. Did you ever think you would hear me say that? That Jose Canseco is now, is he the hero or is he the bad guy? This is strange. This is out of control. I don't know what to think or what not to think about this, because it's crazy that all these things could happen just like that. Bam. Done, over with. And is the resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts about to take place? Yeah, in some form, but in the ring? No, I don't think you're going to see him in the ring. I don't think he'll ever take this whole thing about him being saved by himself. How is he making a comeback? Well, you're about to hear that right now. Because if you go into Jake the Snake Roberts' second floor bedroom, there's a pile of Jake the Snake Roberts action figures on a table, plastic muscles ripped and bulging snarls on their tiny faces. Above them on the wall are signed comic book star cartoons of Jake the Snake fighting atop the Empire State Building and deep in the heart of the jungle. All around the room are photographs of Jake the Snake wrestling in some of the world's largest arenas against fellow iconic wrestlers. It'd be a hell of a tribute to the man if it were not for Jake the Snake himself, withering in the bed of the center of the room. It's a summer morning outside Atlanta. Jake Roberts, unshaven, his long hair muttered, is lying in the bed devastated and alone. He'd been cleaning sober for 8 months, drying out and cleaning out and trying to resurrect his life and his career. But he just keeps falling and falling. 2 airline bottles of vodka, that was it. That's all it took. 2 tiny bottles. Boom. Downed in the parking lot. He drank to blot out the image of an old friend who'd fallen on hard times, the same way he used to drink to blot out the thoughts of his own falling. And now, he stumbled back into one bad habit. Every seductive, self-loathing instinct in his body is telling him to get back in touch with another. When life gets hard, pack your stuff and run. But on this morning, he doesn't run. He stays. He's got control over his body now, and his mind. And now that he didn't even know that 8 months ago, he's hating himself for falling. It's like hitting me in the head with a ball pin hammer, he said. But he's getting back up to face what he's done. He's got friends now. People pulling for him harder to win now than ever they did back in the ring. And in a twist so perfect, it almost seems like it's scripted. The guy now tasked with helping Roberts save himself is the same guy Roberts once hoisted to wrestling stardom and helped him reach the pinnacle of becoming the man that he is today. That man is Diamond Dallas Page. This is Page's house. And with Page's guidance, Robert just might be on the way to a peace that's eluded him for 6 long decades. This then is a story of fame and fortune, addiction and recovery, snakes and yoga. It's what happens when lives go off script, for better and for worse. Had he done all this, you know, into the wrestling game any earlier, Diamond Dallas Page might be somewhere working a forklift and punching a time clock today. Page was running a nightclub in Florida in the 1980s, dabbling with wrestling management on one side when he first met Roberts. At that point, Roberts was well into his career as the Snake. And Page, who was then in his 30s, mentioned that he was considering getting into the ring himself. Diamond Dallas Page said, "I wanted to do it. I assumed I was too old. I started managing at 31, but I didn't even get into the ring until I was 35. Thank God for his day job," Roberts said, shaking his head at the state of Page's early wrestling game. But they never told each other that they had the same problems. That they both had drinking and alcohol issues and all that stuff. Page recalled, he said, "He just didn't tell me. Here's what you do," he suggests. "He'd give me a bait to fish with and then a little more bait." Robert's now 58, hidden demons behind a mask of aggression and psychological warfare. The son of a great wrestler, his real name, Adrian Smith Jr., Patreon climbing into the ring while in his teens running the South Circuit of Mid-South Wrestling, Georgia, Championship Wrestling, and other local leagues. A snake just happened to pique Jake Roberts' interest and, well, start using it to that degree. And now Diamond Dallas Page to this day checks on Jake the Snake Roberts every day, going to his house, making sure that he's clean and sober and staying where he should be. Kind of like Michael Vick coming alongside Bradley Cooper, this is Diamond Dallas Page, coming alongside Jake the Snake Roberts and saying it's time for a change. So now he goes with him to yoga, he does all these different things. Because you can go to YouTube and find this out with DDP TV, which is titled A Time for Accountability. It's 4 parts, so you'll see it in all 4 parts on YouTube. I haven't had a chance to actually witness it yet, but hey, getting there. So, yeah, this is where it is, and we're running a little lackluster, but that's okay. Nothing to worry about. Matt Broderick requested a special song for a commercial, so here's for Matt Broderick.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my God,
the leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick 30 Cent. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
We are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, doing things at the drop of a hat, it's always crazy. It's always out of control. Just like that video game that I told you guys about Uncharted on PS3. I know Matt Broderick was like, hey, I talked with him on social media last night. He's like, oh, I'm going to check this out and check the internet. He checked the internet and he's like, oh, man, this game is not available on Xbox. I said, I guess not, man. Have you tried a GameStop website? They might have it if you know. Because I beat part one. I beat the first Uncharted game in only 8 days. I've only had both games, part one and two, for 8 days because I found them in a double pack. The second one, you know, had a secret code in it for a DLC. Which means there's extra stuff in the second one. I'm halfway through the second one. Last night, I thought it was going to be problematic. A huge deal with... Cause I was like, oh shit, there's tanks in here. What the heck? I mean, there's stuff in this game that you would not believe, DDP. DDP is in the chat room. Also got to welcome guest 870 in the chat room. More than likely, that guest could probably be my good friend, Craig Brooks. Yeah. Yeah. Get your snack, Craig. I think Craig is in the library. I don't think... Well, you could probably sneak, you know, some snacks in there. Just, you know, sneak things like some M&Ms or something. You feel me? You know, right there in your... Well, then again, it's summertime. I don't think... I know some people like to wear jackets in the summertime. I'd never wear a jacket in the summertime. Oh, hell no. Not here. It's too hot over here. I tell you, man. But hey, there's a lot of ways to do that. Just, you know, be sneaky about it. You know, stealth mode. But yeah, and it's a safe bet that things are getting out of hand, wrestling-wise. Because WWE NXT Women's Champion Peggy is getting very strong reviews for her work in WWE's developmental. One of the reasons the anti-diva hasn't been called up to the main roster is because WWE thinks their talent should be at least 21 before they go on the road. And Peggy will turn 21. That will not happen until August 17th. But then again, some are questioning why WWE broke that rule with Total Divas and their cast member. You know the youngest one, JoJo? You know the Bellas were joking that, you know, if you saw the world premiere of Total Divas on Raw, which I know a lot of us did, you know, she looks younger than she is. And Brie Bella said, yeah, she's like 18 years old. Well, nothing can be further from the truth. Because it's a safe bet that that's why they used it. Because why is JoJo on the Total Divas show? Because in order to go out and party and live up the life of being a, you know, Total Diva celebrity is what they're pushing for. That's what they want this show to be all about. This is their new version of, this is their new way of getting women on the show. That way they can become wrestlers to actually become divas. Well, if you want to find talent, there are other legal ways to do it, Vince. Vince is allowing this girl, JoJo, who was on the show, if you'd like, I said, like I just said a minute ago, if you saw Total Divas, the world premiere on Raw, they were joking about it, but in real life, she's not even old enough to be on the show, which is prominently ridiculous. I hope she's not training to be a wrestler. You can't do that shit at that age. This is not a smart way for Vince to find talent. I mean, who are you? New Jack? And you're trying to, like what he did with the original ECW and the whole mass transit incident. Remember that? For those of us ECW fans that remember that back in the day. The Las Vegas Review-Journal has posted an article about the controversy surrounding Rico Constantaro. And you say, well, Who's Rico? Well, Rico is a taxi cab driver. And you say, wait a minute, this is a sports show. Where the hell are you going, Matt? Why is a taxi driver being involved with a sports show in a story? Well, just hold on, find out. Rico, who was fired from his taxi cab job as a taxi cab authority law enforcement officer, after footage revealed him wrestling while he was on light duty restrictions due to a work-related injury. He suffered a serious knee injury while playing beach volleyball and had to go on light duty in August of 2012. As a result, that was motioned by his doctor. The footage was from Future Stars of Wrestling event in Las Vegas. Now I know most of these things, most of the time, they always have a bad ending and there's never a happy ending, but I'm happy to report, ladies and gentlemen, this story about this taxi cab driver, Rico Constantino, his story is a happy ending. Because now, not only did he get his job back with the taxi cab authority company that he worked for, they also gave him full pay and benefits. Because, well, like Jose Canseco, he probably had some damn good attorneys, because these attorneys, they fought hard for him. They helped him win his case with them, with the company that tried to keep him fired. Can't keep a good man down, I guess, even if you are a taxi cab driver. They gave him, not only did they give him his job back, but they gave him full pay and benefits. And he's now the lead, you know, taxi cab driver for all the other taxi cab drivers. He still does his normal job, but he just does it as a supervisor now. He's been promoted. Because they realized that, why are you trying to fire one of your taxi cab employees just because he's wrestling on the side? What the hell is this? What is this, the Clinton administration? Good grief. But don't worry, he's back now. He, like I said, he's got his job back, full pay and benefits. Shit, that's lucky as hell. He's one lucky guy. Ricardo Rodriguez is currently scheduled to return from his wellness policy suspension. He'll be available to, you can see him on television on the August 12th edition of Raw. He'll be on the August 12th episode. And you know, I'm sure you've heard that there are no set plans. Now, this is really stupid, though. For Intercontinental Champion Curtis Axel, he was, I know, there were pictures going up all over the internet of him being on the cover of the SummerSlam DVD and the SummerSlam poster for upcoming SummerSlam, which will take place in Los Angeles again. All my L.A. friends are getting ready to do that. Everybody's packing up right now. But there are no plans to actually have... They changed their minds now. The writers said that Curtis Axel should not be on the show. Championship material is an acquisition for them, they said. Well, he's an acquisition. People like him. What the hell are you doing? Put him on the show. He's the Intercontinental Champion. Don't you want to show him what a great champion he is by having him on the SummerSlam pay-per-view? They said, well, it's possible that he'll be added to the pre-show, as the company has been putting new matches and bigger title matches on the pay-per-view kickoff special. See what I mean, how this doesn't make sense? They have other title matches on the pre-show. And, of course, they have the World Heavyweight Championship, which will take place at SummerSlam. Because, you know, CM Punk's doing his thing there, trying to get involved with that. But they don't want their own Intercontinental Champion on the show? You're putting other champions on the pre-show, and then you've got the World Heavyweight title match and your main event at SummerSlam. But you don't want Curtis Axel, who's the Intercontinental Champion, on the show. That makes a lot of business sense. Not. And during this week's WWE conference call, Vince McMahon said that options are still open for the WWE network. He said that upcoming rights and fees could be tied into the network as well. So they're still trying to find a way to get the WWE network up and rolling. Yeah, we'll see about that. And I know, it's crazy to think, because as of Tuesday night, we all saw the whole internet feed flood with a Pacific newscast that read, Randy Orton was jumped by a fan at a show that they did in Africa. Well, you know, as I said in the description, actually, was it a fan or was it not a fan? Now this is a two-way street story. Are you going to go right or are you going to go left? Well, I'm Matt Alvarez, and I say that this show, with this story in particular, it's going to go left. Because there is no right turn in this story. Because all day long Tuesday, everybody kept saying, well, a very scary incident happened at a live event in Cape Town, South Africa. Randy Orton was attacked by a fan in the ring following his match against, he was wrestling Big E Langston. According to multiple witnesses, and PWI Insider was there, and they caught the story. They jumped all over it. And someone even tweeted, someone just hit Randy Orton in the nuts. What the hell is this? Get him out of here. Orton did not retaliate against the fan, but threw the middle finger as he was being dragged out of the arena by arena personnel. According to another user on the website, Twitter that is, some fans who purchased tickets to the event included a meet and greet with various WWE superstars following the event. However, due to the incident, it did not take place. A user who was at the event had this to say, and he complained to the official Twitter account of Grandstand West Casino and Entertainment World, the company that hosted the event. He said, Grand West, your security sucks, and I feel cheated out of my R600. That slogan for, or you can say wrestling terminology for, I want my money back, because I paid this huge amount of money with this meet and greet ticket to interact with WWE superstars, and now this won't happen. Well, personally, I think the fans in South Africa, if you did have a meet and greet, see what I mean? WWE said that nothing will take place with these fans now. You better pay them back the next time you go back to South Africa, and here's what you need to do. See, if I was in charge, God damn it, I wish I was, but if I was in charge, I would say if you were here for the house show incident that took place in 2013, and because of that whole incident, we couldn't let you do the meet and greet. But if you were a part of the meet and greet, bring your tickets from that show, and you won't have to pay any extra. The hell with taxes. I'll throw taxes out the window. There'll be no extra charges if you show up again. This time you will get an official meet and greet. That's what I would do, but WWE says, well, we don't have time for that. Vince McMahon has lots and lots and lots of people that work behind the scenes that can fix this shit, but they're not going to. And as for that left turn I'm taking, like I said, there is no right turn, because now we're finding out some 50 and a half hours later, I mean Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today's now Friday, August 2nd, 2012, which I did not relay the date, today's date at the top of the show. But here we are, from the beginning of the week And here we are at the end of the week. Now we're finding out, for those of you that have been following with this story, that the guy was not actually a fan. To a large part degree, he was a fan, but he's actually an independent wrestler that WWE has, you know, tried out with before, and he just tried to get his name out there. He said, I'm here to make a statement, and it's time the big boys, that they found out what I'm all about, and that's why I did what I did. Did you hear that? See? He's an independent African wrestler. But he ruined it for all the other African people that were at this show in South Africa. I mean, on top of that, he got his ass thrown in jail. And everybody said, well, what's WWE going to do about this? Nothing. It's up to Randy Orton whether or not he wants to press charges. It's hard to say whether or not Randy Orton will actually press charges. It's also a safe bet, which is our subject title for today, that no one will even remember this incident. The fan attacking Randy Orton incident is what it's now being called. But you heard it from me. You can look it up yourself. That the guy that attacked him is a wrestler in his own right. So now that some have found that out, they're not sure now whether to still, you know, concur and trash and downright ridicule the security company or WWE for this, because it just looks that way. And we welcome Coffee into the chat room. Coffee just happened to show up at the opportune time in the chat room when I'm telling the story about how Randy Orton was attacked by a fan. But he's actually not a fan. He's a wrestler there that lives there in Africa, and he just felt like hopping in the ring and taking a shot at Randy Orton right to the nuts. And there's even a video about it. And you can tell that wasn't part of the show, because, hey, Randy Orton, he got up way too fast after that. Apparently, either this guy that's an independent wrestler in his own right there in South Africa, either he hits like my sister, or he just doesn't know how to hit a guy in the nuts properly, and that's why Randy Orton got up so damn fast, and then he flipped him off, and then Randy Orton got on the ropes and was like, yeah, it's all about me. I'm Randy Orton. I'm the true wrestler here. So, yeah, I know everybody's been telling everybody else on Twitter to get back to me and clear this whole thing up. Well, there. I just did. Sure, he's still going to be punished to the full extent of Africa law. Because he has been arrested. He has been formally charged. And he was a fan, but at the same time, he wasn't a fan. He's his own wrestler. Right there in Africa, and he just wanted to get his name out there. He wanted his 15 seconds of fame, and, well, he got it. He got it. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, a random thing to say. As we welcome Matt Broderick into the chat room. Matt Broderick is with us. Awesome. Awesome. This is what I like to see with the chat room. Matt Broderick says, how are you all doing? Well, that song that Matt Broderick requested has already been played. I played that during our commercial. But yeah, no more comments. I don't have any more comments about this, other than the fact to tell you all that don't worry. The guy that attacked Randy Orton is a fan / wrestler. End of story. That's the way it is. Yeah, Matt, that is a great, great song. That is awesome. That's awesome that you requested that song, too. Thank you, by the way. I think I fell in love with that song. Thanks, Matt. I tell you. Now, as we roll along and get right into Raw, let me just say that it's a safe bet that things have actually happened on a better note for WWE, because you know, Vince McMahon had actually opened up the show after lots and lots of video packages with Daniel Bryan's gauntlet matches that he had last week on Raw. This week, you know, Vince tells Brad Maddox, you made a bonehead decision by letting John Cena choose his SummerSlam opponent. He's like, do you remember that you called Daniel Bryan a troll last week? Troll. Where have I heard that word before? No, I'm serious, ladies and gentlemen. Where have I heard that word before? I'm pretty sure most of us that are in the chat room live, and the chat room is well filled to, well, it's not filled to capacity, but it's getting there. But I mean, haven't some of us who grew up in the 80s and the 90s, haven't we heard this word troll on a kid's show before growing up? I can't remember. Maybe Matt Brocci can figure this out. I don't actually want to ask Coffee if he knows where that word started, but I'm pretty sure I've heard that word troll as a kid. I don't know. Anyways, The Shield versus The Usos and Mark Henry. The Shield, of course, they won. But after the match, you know, it looked like Mark Henry and The Usos had won. That's what it looked like. Because The Shield tried to attack them from behind, and, well, that just didn't happen. And for the second straight week on Monday Night Raw, The Shield had had enough of Mark Henry and The Usos. And no, I don't mean that they found their way of retaliating. It's, The Shield didn't quite get what they wanted because of what they did with the second R word that I'm thinking of. They didn't retaliate. No, they did the other R word I'm thinking of. They retreated. They tried to get the best of Mark Henry and The Usos by attacking them from behind, but that didn't happen. Seth Rollins was like, let's go. No, we're done. Let's get the hell out of here. And they retreated and took off and didn't want no more of Mark Henry or The Usos for that matter. And Kane had told Brad Maddox, I want the Wyatt family, and I want them now. He's like, well, just don't worry about that. You have your match, and you can worry about them with your match against Daniel Bryan. Rob Van Dam, oh man, Rob Van Dam, he took it to the sky on Monday Night Raw against Fandango. Matt Broderick said, I hear the word troll at work all the time. Matt Broderick tells me about one of his coworkers. Yeah. Don't worry, Matt. I think your comments are safe here in the chat room. Now, if she actually listened to the show, that would be a totally different story. You never know what's going to happen right here on the Sports Opinion Show, I tell you. But yeah, Rob Van Dam, he took it to Fandango. And, you know, doing all these crazy moves and everything. And I tried to surprise not only Matt Broderick, but I tried to find another commercial to surprise everyone with that I was going to play, because we take our second commercial break in 15 minutes. And I'm going to surprise everybody with a very cool commercial, but I couldn't find the actual commercial for it because it kept sending me back to previous years, and I was like, no, that's not what I wanted. So I'll just tell you all now that right after, don't you think that was well-booked, ladies and gentlemen, that right after the Rob Van Dam match? Because Rob Van Dam won, he won by countout, but hey, at least he still won. But after the match, they went right to commercial. And what does the first commercial they show? The first commercial, they're chanting, RVD, RVD. I was like, oh, hell yeah, this is good. And what does it go right into? The first commercial after Rob Van Dam's match was a ECW original commercial. I was like, what is this about? Interesting here. Don't you guys think that was kind of cool that even though Rob Van Dam won his match by countout, doesn't matter, he still won on Monday Night Raw, but they go right into a commercial that starts with the initials Rob Van Dam, and the commercial is an ECW unreleased Volume 2 that came out this past Tuesday. No, I told Matt Broderick on social media, man, when I get my hands on some money, I'm going to get that. I got to get that disc. It's going to be awesome. Of course, some of you, which are some of my friends in Canada, some of my Canadian wrestling friends, you lucky bastards, you somehow, I saw some of my Canadian friends posting videos on social media, and they're like, we got our hands on the ECW unreleased Volume 2 before the United States did. Like, and we had to wait till Tuesday. I don't know how you Canadians get away with that. How do you get it before we do? When the entire world got told that it won't be released until this past Tuesday. And it's kind of fishy there, you Canadians. With all due respect to my Canadian friends, they know I'm joking with them. But yeah, that was well played. An RVD match that went right into RVD chants, which was actually an ECW unreleased Volume 2 DVD commercial. Cool. Caitlin versus AJ Lee. Now, I went to the trouble of yeah, Stone Cold could call up. I went to the trouble, ladies and gentlemen. I know most of you saw this on social media with me. Immediately after Monday Night Raw went off the air, and I said, man, that AJ, she's crazy. What the hell? What do you have to do to make AJ happy? And I even went as far as to say that I know this is television, but I wouldn't want a girlfriend like that. She is out of control. And then all the negative comments started coming. Matt, what the hell is wrong with you? You know you want a girl like that. She's exactly what you need. I said, whoa. Well, in some respects, yes. Because she's crazy as hell, and if something happened to me, she would go ballistic on whoever tried to hurt me. But at the same time, she's very unstable. But it's hilarious with AJ. You know, you never know what she's going to say. You never know what she's going to do. Calling Caitlyn a bimbo bitch. Well, she kind of got in trouble with the writers for, about that. We're a PG show. You can't use the word bimbo. And you can't say the other B word either. She's like, am I going to get fined for swearing? No, just don't let it happen again. Because her storyline role, if you've noticed, week after week after week, she's like, I guarantee it, I am not going to get speared tonight. No more getting speared. Yet she keeps getting speared and keeps getting speared. And I love how she just stood there and let Caitlyn lay her out with the spear after trying to go for her own 1-2-3 pin. But when she got speared the second time, she lost and she threw a fit. And Big E Langston tried to come in. He tried to console her. See what I mean? You don't know how to make her happy. Because he tried to hug her and told her it was going to be okay. And she shoved Big E Langston away. Get away from me! Just get away! Big E Langston, he rolled his eyes like, oh my God. What? He had that expression like, what the hell am I supposed to do? I need help here. Well, someone came to help, but it's her ex-boyfriend and, well, his former best friend, Dolph Ziggler. And he congratulated AJ on her loss, and he's like, wait a minute, you lost everything. You even lost to me, which is very, very, you know, appalling. But I'm okay with that, because I have no feeling for you anymore. And she just went nuts. She started putting her hands in her pockets, and I thought, what'd she put her hands in her pocket for? What, does she have apples in her pocket that she can start throwing at Dolph Ziggler? Could you imagine if she had some kind of food in her pants pocket and just started throwing out? Kind of reminds me of the night when Steve Austin got, when he came out and he helped The Rock against the NWO at the time, remember? And, you know, Vince was like, Austin, you son of a bitch. You're supposed to be in the hospital. So you want a piece of the NWO, huh? Well, we'll make it a handicap match next Monday night on Raw. Congratulations and Happy New Year. And then Austin starts throwing beer. He took all his whole can of beer. He grabbed his 24-pack and started throwing them up the ramp at the NWO and at Vince McMahon. I thought AJ was going to start doing that because she started sticking her hands in her pockets and she had that evil look on her face. And Dolph said, you know, there's one thing I haven't done yet, and that's to prove to the world that I'm bigger and better than Big E Langston. Big E Langston's like, come on, bring it. You want me to bring it? Yeah, bring it. Okay, well, I know neither of us are The Rock, but I'll bring it. And so we get an impromptu match, and Dolph Ziggler versus Big E Langston. But by disqualification, Dolph Ziggler won because AJ interfered again. Every guy that she's with, she just can't help it. Big E Langston was like, come on, what was that about? You cost me the match. You said you would only be here for support, not to actually get involved. He's like, you know what? I'll see you next week. I'm out of here. And he gets in, you know, the rental car, of course. You know, he didn't actually leave the arena. You know, he didn't actually go to the airport. But he just left her standing there crying. Oh, well, we'll see what happens next week. Christian took on Alberto Del Rio. Christian is the winner. It's a great, great match. Christian did an awesome job selling every single move correctly. It's about time that the boys start, you know, selling the moves. Yeah, AJ is nuts, but she certainly is hot, Matt. You are right. She's hot. She's hotter than hot. She's too hot. Uh, I would set her up with a date with DDP, but I think she might scare DDP. She just might turn around and slap him for no reason at all. Yeah, she's still nuts, Matt. You're right. She's still... another friend of mine, he called me on Monday. He said, I think she needs to go on medication. I said, well, yeah, for some people like that, they need to be on medication. But her, no, she doesn't need to be on medication. She needs to stay crazy. You put her on medication and she's going to look like the dwarf from hell. She won't say anything. She won't even scream anymore. She won't even know how to get angry if we put her on medication. So, no, I like her the way she is. Just no medication, yeah. Kane versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is the winner. And even though Daniel won, Kane grabbed him and hit a big choke slam. Bryan walks off from the choke slam, and Kane was about to make his pyro explode, but it didn't happen. And this is where things get a little snippy on the writer's part, because the writers and the producers both agreed that it's in the best idea. Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, don't react. Don't say anything. Well, that's kind of stupid. Because, you know, the lights went out and they were out for a good 3 to 5 seconds. So how are we supposed to know that it was the Waite family that was going to come out? I mean, I kind of figured it was. But still, to tell Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, well, don't react. Don't be like, oh my God, just don't say anything. They told them just to be quiet, so that's what they did. And then when the lights came on, Jerry Lawler was like, oh no, the Waite family is here. No, you're supposed to show that emotion. You're supposed to show that excitement to the people watching on television. Because if you just let the lights stay there for a good 3 to 5 seconds with no movement whatsoever, yet the smartest thing they did all night was go on the air 3 minutes early, just like they did when summer started back in April. Have you noticed that every 6 weeks they go on the air early, they go on the air on time, or sometimes they go on 2 minutes after they're supposed to go on the air? I mean, really? In the words of the Miz, really? Oh my God. And the lights came on and Kane is already on the outside grabbing Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper. But they came down and they protected Bray Wyatt from Kane, and they just beat him down. And Bray, you know, grabs the microphone and kisses Kane on the forehead and lays him out. And he says, Kane! You like to call yourself the devil's favorite demon, huh? He said, Kane, you're no demon. He said, you're staring at the demons. And he just had that evil laugh. I was like, this is kind of confusing. It's interesting because you're going to throw the fans off by a large margin because that's kind of the way how Kane laughs. That's kind of the same way how once in a while when something sinister that The Undertaker likes, he laughs like that too. But now you introduce the Waite family and now they laugh like that. This is going to be really confusing come Halloween time if the Waite family is still around. You know what I mean? Brie Bella versus Natalya. Natalya and Brie Bella, they just went at it, and man, they really kicked the living crap out of each other. for once we get a decent women's match in a long, long time. R-Truth versus Curtis Axel. Oh, and by the way, Brie Bella, she won. Woohoo! But R-Truth versus, you know, Curtis Axel. Was trying to take place. But Paul Heyman had, you know, conceded things again with R-Truth, and he's like, no. How about, let's see how tough you are, R-Truth, against Brock Lesnar. And basically, Curtis Axel beats the hell out of Truth from behind. But then Punk came down to the ring and he pulls Axel out of the ring, sending him into the fans' barrier. Punk just stared at Heyman and started smiling with an evil smile. And of course, you know, finally the tables match. The much heightened tables match. Ryback versus John Cena. These two just threw each other out of the ring, in the ring, into the barricade, outside of the ring, in the crowd. And it was good. It was good. Until the last 10 minutes. Because if you noticed, they went over. Raw did not end until 11:21 p.m. my time, when Raw was actually supposed to end at 11:05 p.m. You know, I almost wanted to go crazy too, Matt. I almost wanted to be like AJ and be like, what in the blue hell are they doing? Come on now. Because they had gone to the trouble of using four tables for both Ryback and John Cena. But they only used one. And the rest of the tables were spread out in front of the entrance ramp. You know, why couldn't they? I mean, it was a tables match anyways. There's no disqualification, so nobody can get counted out for being outside the ring for too long. There's no way for the referee to control that. It's a tables match, for one thing. The second thing is, you know, if I was booking that show, I would have had them meet each other at the top of the ramp and just smashed either John Cena or Ryback into all those tables. That way all those tables could be broken. Not subsequently, but you get the idea. And that's basically all there was with Raw. We're going to go to commercial break in just a second, but before we do that, we have to take this phone call. Who could it be? Could this be Coffee calling in? No, just kidding. I know Coffee would maybe never call in, but then again, you know what they say, never say never. Hello, who is this on the line with us?
It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. How you doing?
Good, Sonny, how you doing?
I'm doing good, giving a listen, and just got an opportunity to get in here for a couple of minutes, and as I'm working a lot, but I thought I'd let you know I'm giving you a listening.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. How's the weather where you're at?
Too damn hot. We're under heat advisories because of the humidity. The heat is 103, and then you add on about 90% humidity, it's like 115 out there. I almost died just going to get the mail from the mailbox.
Nice, man. I, you know.
Hey,
I don't have any mail.
Did you hear about Kurt Angle getting busted last night?
What?
Yes. Kurt Angle got busted for DUI. Let me, I'll post it in, I got to get on Blog Talk Radio, but I'll post it into your chat room. He got busted for DUI while they were up here in Texas, which is, they were 3 hours away. I wasn't going to, I'm not going to drive 3 hours away on something that I'm going to see on TV. He got busted for DUI. I'll put the post up in your page.
Okay, thank you very much. Please do.
Just to give you a lowdown on what happened with a little bit with the TNA and everything last night. So there, I'm finally logged in, and I will put it in there so you can take a look at it. But it just goes to show what's happening a little bit, if you want to say it this way, what's happening actually at the stadiums and stuff. So I just went ahead and I posted the page there. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's something that you can take a look at. So it's coffee. How you doing, coffee, everybody? DDP, welcome. Hi, everybody. So, but I thought I'd give you a listen before we head on to what we're going to be doing a little bit later. So,
all right. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. So, yeah. Thank you very much, Sonny. The hardest working man in sports, ladies and gentlemen. What'd you think?
So, yeah, I don't know. I was watching. You were just talking about Raw. To me, Raw's been really boring, and TNA's been kind of stealing the show for the last month.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I enjoyed Raw up until the main event because I was just telling everybody in the chat room before you called that they only used. They set up four tables from under the ring when they had all these other tables in the entrance ramp. They didn't even use those.
Yeah.
And they only broke, like, one table.
I don't know if they got a real push going on Daniel Bryan or not, but if they do, they better start taking a little bit better care of him. If the push is to get him out there and get him seen more and being the baby face again, because they're beating the hell out of that guy. And, all it takes is one bad, drop on the back. Or I actually thought he might have broke his elbow going through that table at the end of last week's show. They got to be careful with what they're doing with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I guess they do. They need to watch out and take care of him, like you said.
Yep.
Very good advice.
He seems to be the guy right now because all the stories that have been going on Raw, at least as far as what I watch, it's the same old story. And I know Spike wants the McMahons and everybody in on the show, but they got to make that more interesting too, and they're not doing a good job. So I think they're failing. The TNA, although hasn't been great, it's been better than, at least for the last couple of weeks as far as what I saw, better than the WWE.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, but I didn't mean to interrupt your show or anything, but I just thought I'd give a call since I had a couple minutes.
No, that's okay. No interruptions. We have that unexpectancy here. We like that.
You bet.
Well, the story you gave me is still loading, so I'll try and get it uploaded so I can read it to everybody.
You bet.
All right.
Sounds
thanks.
Good.
Funny.
All right. I'll keep a listen. You go to your commercial, and we'll. I'll hang out here until my show starts anyway. I got a show at 5, so.
All right. Thanks.
Cool.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you heard it. I didn't even know that about Kurt Angle. You heard it right here from the hardest working man in sports. The couch potato calls in. You know, and Coffee said, well, Couch Potato was talking. He said, I can't believe TNA still has Hulk Hogan around. Yeah, well, I told Coffee in the chat room, wait till after commercial break until you hear the ridiculousness about Hulk Hogan and the contract that he signed and why he's the only one that hasn't been released like everybody else. Let me just say that in the words of Triple H, whoever has signed your contract and your severance package, Hogan, that's insane. It is. It's insane. Stick around and you'll find out exactly what that severance package is all about.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network. Hey everyone, Matt Alfred's here. I can't believe it's already anniversary time. Anyways, let me shut up and let me introduce you to what will take place on our special anniversary show on August 18th.
And now four of those guys, you know, started this restaurant. It's a nice looking restaurant in Florida. If you're in the Florida area, I'm sure you've seen it. For those of us like myself, and I'm sure nobody in the chat room needs to raise their hand, but I will. I'm the only one that hasn't been out of state, okay? I've never been to Florida. I can't imagine being in Florida in person. In person, walking into a restaurant with a picture of Roger Goodell's face, and on the picture it says, do not serve this man. It's all over the restaurant. I mean, I was checking out pictures of this on Yahoo yesterday. I was like, dang. Well, because they took the New Orleans Bounty case to a new level, so did these former players, and they started this restaurant, and he's not allowed there. Roger Goodell is not allowed in this restaurant because UFC President Dana White said that light heavyweight champion John Jones declined to fight Chanel soon, whom he proposed as a replacement for Henderson. That would have kept the show alive. But White said when Jones wouldn't agree, he had no choice. But in case you were getting ready and getting all set for next Saturday, you can screw next Saturday. Because furthermore, UFC 151 is now canceled. There will not be a UFC 151 pay-per-view next Saturday.
There you go, fam. Be sure to join us on August 18th. This will be the anniversary show that you will not want to miss. We are going to take a look at everything. This is just a small taste of what you're going to hear on the August 18th anniversary show spectacular. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
We are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. You know, right before we went to commercial break, Coffee came to the chat room. Guest 240 jumped in here. Jay Mickles jumped in here. Matt Broderick joined us right before commercial break. Couch Potato joined us and also called in to inform us, ladies and gentlemen, right on the fly that last night, and I wasn't even aware of this. This is why I need you guys. Thank you. Thank you, Couch Potato, who is definitely, he needs a trophy. Couch, you need a trophy in your garage that reads, the hardest working man in sports, the Couch Potato. Kurt Angle was arrested last night for a DUI after TNA Impact tapings that took place where Couch, you of course, and my good friend who's also in the chat room, DDP, for both of you in Texas and all of Texas, TNA was in Wichita Falls, Texas last night for a live episode of Impact Wrestling, followed by a taping for next week's show that will air on Spike TV. Anyway, following the exhausting taping, Kurt Angle hit the road at about 1 hour on the out-of-town. He was pulled over by local police. He was then arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated. This marked his second DUI offense, the first coming back, for those of you that remember, in September 2011 in Virginia. Angle was released on $200,000 bond, and a court date will be scheduled to determine his Texas punishment. This is just the latest in a long series of minutiae, as documented by, you know, certain wrestling reporters after this arrest 2 years ago. Angle has been with TNA since 2006, and I have been arrested for a total of 4 times since then, 3 involving some form of reckless driving while under the influence. That's called a pattern, folks, and his problems, which he claimed he had finally taken care of, have clearly not gone away. Also, I told Coffee in the chat room during commercial break that, because Couch had said, well, you know, why isn't Hogan released? Everybody else was released from TNA. Well, you're all about to hear it. The ridiculous severance package that he got. And it's funny, too. And you're like, why is the contract, especially regarding Hulk Hogan, funny? It's funny because, listen to this. The only reason why everybody else got fired and was released, all except Hulk Hogan and, you know, those kind of people, the Eric Bischoffs of the world, the guys that are basically jerks that have nothing better to do but to jerk around the company that they work for, and Dixon Carter thinking that he's going to be the savior of the world when actually it's actually screwed them all over. Somehow they let Hulk Hogan, are you ready for this? Are you ready? They let Hulk Hogan sign a 200-year contract. I'm serious. Look it up right now. How are you going to sign a fucking 200-year contract? Is Hulk Hogan even going to be here in 200 years? Am I even going to be here in 200 years? Like I said before commercial break, whoever signed his severance package and that contract is out of their mind. Coffee said, is this, you know, story about Kurt Angle being arrested actually the thing that Texans cared about? I thought Texans only cared about making unconstitutional laws, banning abortion, and executing people. Coffee. You know, a lot of people tell me that I need to go do stand-up comedy. Coffee needs to go to some comedy joint there where he lives in Detroit, Michigan, and do stand-up comedy. Because if you do, Coffee, trust me, you'll get major awards, and you'll start, you know, sending those awards to me. No, but I'm serious. Hulk Hogan got a 200-year contract agreement with total nonstop action. How do you get, I'm serious. How do you get a 2 year How do you get a 200-year contract for pay for the next 200 years? Are we even going to be here in 200 years? I don't think so. Ridiculous. Kurt Angle getting arrested last night, and now this? This is out of control. The wrestling world thinks that we the people owe them everything. Because they're superstars. Sure, great athleticism. Wrestlers are now getting notarized. Finally, after all these years, people clap and applaud for the great enthusiasm that they put behind their work. But then when they go out and get drunk or do something stupid or even to sign a 200-year contract, I think it's time as fans we say, you know, we don't have to owe you shit. We are paying you to entertain us. Not for you to tell the world that, well, wrestling fans owe wrestlers a lot of opportunity. We don't owe you anything. The same goes for NFL players. Even though, like I said at the top of the show, an NFL player is in serious trouble with the Eagles for a racial comment, a really, really, really bad racial comment, because he's not even African-American, but yet he thinks he is. But at least he apologized. At least he's trying to make up for it. Coffee said, well, yeah, we might not even be here in 1,000 years. He said somebody in Cleveland was sentenced to life in prison for 1,000 years. I don't even know. I don't know how to do the math on 1,000 years, Coffee. Maybe the couch potato can do the math for us, but other than that, I don't know. All these crazy shit going on. only here on the Sports Opinion Show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, this is out of control. Now, last night, you know how TNA had been doing this whole big reveal, and they had this one person. You know how in some of these documentaries that A&E does, I remember when A&E first started doing documentaries about gangs and how the former gang members didn't want their identity revealed, stuff like that. Well, TNA tried to do their version of one of those A&E shows from their network. That's where they got the idea from last week. And the week before that, we saw this man who you could tell that they dubbed his voice just like they do with these A&E reality shows about gangs and stuff, where they don't want their real identity revealed and, you know, they want themselves to be, you know, secretive. You can still hear their voice, but it's not their actual real voice. It would be, you know, like that, kind of muffled, right? So this guy comes and he's like, you don't know me, but I'm going to make an impact. I am going to show everyone that you don't mess with this man. This man is going to tear the wrestling world apart, and I will be there on August 1st. Of course, in his language, he said August 1, but it really means August 1st. The same thing last week. One more week, and you will know who I am. No, I'm not Kurt Angle. I'm not Bully Ray. I'm not Lex Luger. And I think last week when he did the whole Lex Luger thing, I think even they themselves were trying to help WWE and promote the Lex Luger DVD that was just released, along with the ECW Unreleased Volume 2 DVD, which both came out this past Tuesday. And then last night, I'm not who you think I am. But now, everyone is appalled, everyone is pissed off that they go and they do this crap. And the big reveal is none other than Tito Ortiz. Are you kidding me? Coffee says, well, August 20th, Saints Row the 4th. Coffee. I don't even have the first Saints Row, okay? I'm trying to get my hands on that game, too. Good grief. I know people like Matt Broderick and DDP are into the video game scene as well. That's the other thing that Dixie Carter has tried to push, and she pushed that in her Q&A session this week, too. Well, Q&A, everything that people are saying about us, about Impact Wrestling, it's a lie. It's not true. And I don't like some of these negative comments from our fans. She literally said this. She didn't say this on Twitter. On Twitter, she said one thing. On the national media network, she said another. I don't respond well to negativity comments from wrestling fans for my company. You're supposed to take the criticism, lady. Good grief. What do you want next? Do you want our very own coffee from our chat room to bring you some latte coffee? I don't know. Do you need a Red Bull or something like that, Dixie Carter? This is so unheard of. If you can't take the criticism, get out of the game. I know coffee and everybody, our chat room is full, everybody in the chat room would agree with me. I had a feeling coffee would go there. He said, I'm not a coffee delivery guy. That ain't happening. Not on a fucking dime, it ain't happening. Unless you make it worth my while. Trust me, coffee. Dixie Carter is wealthy enough. She can afford to pay for your gas and all that shit to go all the way to where she is. And she'll make sure you have gas to get back home. And I mean, after all, coffee here in California is like $3 or $4. So maybe it's, because all you guys that live in Texas and Chicago and all the southern states, you guys all pay cheaper for coffee than we do in California. I mean, milk just went up here in January in California a whole $3. Everything here in California in the 90s used to be $1.99 and shit. Now it's $3. You know, we don't have time to go through the whole rundown of TNA, but that's okay. That's okay. Because how does Tito Ortiz fit into being, you know, the surprise of the night, coming out there and trying to even lackluster himself with, you know, Jay Bradley and King Mo and all these other guys that were either both in Bellator and in UFC. So now people are pissed off because, well, you know, now Tito Ortiz and King Mo and all these other guys, they used to be on Bellator, they used to be on MMA Live, and some of them were even UFC fighters at one time. Now they don't want to be real fighters. Now they want to be fake fighters. Some people are even calling this the second apocalypse of the old WCW. And of course, Dixie Carter says, well, she said this on social media, that TNA going out of business? Now, that is one question I will not answer with a comment. That is not happening. Wait a minute, you just said you weren't going to answer without a comment. But yet she came and said, that's never going to happen? Well, you just answered the question. Basically, she's trying to push it off and act like that question never happened. Well, we just want the truth. WCW tried to do that for a while, but they couldn't do it. That's why Vince McMahon and his company came in and said, you know, they started running commercials that, well, you have to switch channels to our show. Because they're all going to start appearing for our company. Dixie Carter needs to make it her own safe bet. Is it a safe bet to say that you're going out of business? I think so. Is it a safe bet to think that everyone else is leaving you high and dry? And is it a safe bet you can even keep certain people like Kurt Angle in line? No, you can't. And it's a safe bet that I know what I'm talking about. And that's the way it is. Wrestling is about wrestling, not about this other nonsense bullshit. And I'm going to leave you with one thing that Coffee said. He said Dixie Carter is hot. Because she can get me to do a lot of things for her. Coffee, she's no Trish, but that's your opinion, pal. I don't know. We'll see you later. Take care.
Getting to the top rope, and it's in it! Frog flash! Come on! Get it! Do it! Two! Yes! It's serious!
He looked and he thought he'd get John Hancock on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What?
Is
that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.